Hey gorgeous, welcome to the Body Love Show, a space where we cultivate a deep appreciation for the extraordinary things our bodies do for us every day. I'm your host, Emma Paulette, and I'm passionate about helping people just like you embrace self-love and body acceptance. We'll dive into the world of yoga, self-care, and mental health, exploring ways to nurture our bodies and minds and banish those pesky body image blues. So grab your favorite cozy blanket, a warm cup of tea, and settle in for a dose of body-loving goodness. Together we'll cultivate a deeper connection with our bodies, foster self-compassion, and radiate confidence from the inside out. I hope you enjoy the show. As I record this episode, it's the beginning of January, so Happy New Year. And what I'm seeing a lot at the moment is people out and about exercising. And I love, love, love to see it because exercise is so freaking good for us. But it worries me a little bit because there are a lot of people out exercising. And I know that a huge majority of these people won't be exercising within about 2 to 3 weeks from now. And that might be because they are living under some of these myths about exercise that I want to talk to you about in this week's episode. So at the moment, you are probably being bombarded by ads for weight loss programs, new year, new you, exercise programs and all those things. And so we all start the year with these really positive mindsets and these desires to change our lives, change our bodies, change our health. And I think it's unfortunately because we start those new habits with the mindset of changing ourselves rather than improving ourselves, that's why we get let down and we don't continue those exercise habits. So I want to go through 3 different myths about exercise. A reminder that I'm a personal trainer and yoga teacher, so I know a little bit about exercise. And also, the main focus of your exercise and how to continue exercising beyond the first couple of weeks of the new year. So the first myth is that you need to sweat or be sore for exercise to, in quotation marks, work. And I'm actually quoting a client of mine. So she has told me that she really doesn't like exercising. She doesn't like feeling sweaty. She doesn't like how she feels sore after an exercise session. And so she might go through a phase where she does 2 or 3 exercise sessions in a row, 2 or 3 days in a row, and then she won't exercise for weeks, sometimes months. Does that sound familiar? I know I've definitely been in that camp in the past. And so it was really interesting to talk to her about this because she used the words, I need to feel sore after an exercise session, otherwise it's not working. So I delved a bit more deeply into what she meant by the word working. And one was that she felt like she needs to sweat and get sore muscles if she wants to lose weight and if she wants to change her body shape. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about those things in another myth, but I just wanted to say that there is no need to get super sweaty and there's no need to feel sore after a workout for you to get benefits from that workout. So we'll leave the weight loss thing to one side. I'll talk about that soon, as I said. But the benefits that you get from exercise are way more than changing your body. And in fact, you don't have a lot of control over that. I'm trying hard not to talk about this too much right now. But the benefits you get from exercise are things like improved mental health, being able to sleep better, improved cardiovascular health, less likely to get diabetes, or if you do have diabetes, better blood sugar controls. There's so many reasons to exercise that have nothing to do with the way that you physically look, that you don't need to push yourself really hard to get those benefits. You just need to move. And the recommendations, from a health, government perspective or a health department perspective, is to move about 30 minutes a day, 5 to 7 days a week in a moderate fashion. And a moderate fashion means that, like, you go for a walk with a friend and you can still talk to your friend while you're walking. So if you did that, you might get a bit sweaty if it's a super hot day, but most days you wouldn't get super sweaty doing that. And you probably wouldn't be sore after doing that exercise. So you don't need to feel sore or to get sweaty for an exercise session to work, because the way that exercise works is to help those things like mental health and other aspects of physical health. Now, the other thing I explained to this client was that when you feel sore after an exercise session, and often you feel even more sore the day after, if you've experienced that, it's what's called DOMS, which is delayed onset muscle soreness. And this is something that happens when you first start an exercise program, and it's very common. But what will happen is after a few sessions, you won't feel those DOMS anymore. You won't get the same amount of soreness. So if you feel like you have to feel sore after an exercise session for it to have worked, well, then you're going to have to continually intensify your sessions. Keep getting harder and harder. Keep getting more and more full on. And what happens if you do that is, one, you're more likely to get injured, which means you're unable to exercise at all. And B, you're not able to continue to make things more and more intense. Unless you're like a Olympian athlete or something, you can't do that. It's just not possible. So by setting yourself up for failure from the beginning, by saying it has to hurt for it to work, means that at some point it's not going to hurt anymore, and that will be your excuse to stop. So that's why it's a myth. You don't need to be sweaty. You don't need to be sore to get the benefits from exercise. So that was myth one. Myth two, and you hear this a lot this time of the year, is no excuses. So, like, you know, there's no excuse not to exercise. And I just want to say there are tons. I was about to swear, but I changed my mind. There's a huge number of reasons not to exercise. Now, there's lots of reasons to exercise, and ideally, as I mentioned, you'd be exercising or moving your body 3 to 5 to 7 times a week, but there are lots of reasons why you wouldn't. So as I mentioned, exercise, one of the best benefits of it is for mental health. And if it's very stressful for you to be able to get an exercise session in for whatever reason, that's a great excuse not to do one. So if you've got a big deadline at work, or you're, you know, a single mother and your kids are going through some stuff at the moment, you've got no one else to rely on, or you know, you're away on holidays. So if you had to do an exercise session and it means missing out on time with your family, or you're unwell, or if you're like me, and, you know, with my chronic pelvic pain, I'm in a lot of pain. That's a great reason not to exercise. If you haven't slept well for a few nights in a row and you just feel exhausted, another great reason not to exercise. So I just want to remind you that there are plenty of reasons why you won't exercise, but ideally you'll find a way to exercise that you can fit in most of the time. So for me personally, I have actually started a new exercise regime at the beginning of the year, but I'm doing like these dance workouts that are like 15 minutes and they're on my computer, so I can do them anytime at a time that suits me. So there are ways to exercise that helped to make them possible. But as soon as I have a bad pain day, I'm not going to be exercising. So that's, you know, that's a reason not to. So don't fall for that no excuses bullshit. And I guess I just want to give you one anecdote which really explains this well, in my opinion. Late last year, I listened to Demi Moore's autobiography. I listened to her tell the story. And she has had a history of eating disorders and a disordered relationship with exercise, especially if you remember that G.I. Jane phase she went through. And she tells the story of when she had a baby, and she was obviously trying to get the baby body back and doing lots and lots of exercise. Her child wasn't putting on any weight. And she was breastfeeding the child, the baby, and she took the child to the hospital or to the doctor, I'm not sure, I can't remember which. And they informed her that because she was exercising so much, her body, the breast milk wasn't producing enough fat for the child to put on weight. So, I mean, if that's not a good excuse not to exercise or not to exercise so hard, I don't know what is. So there's lots of reasons why we can't do full-on workouts all the time. And that kind of explains a little bit of myth number one too. That's why we can't go hard all the time. We don't have to be full-on all the time because it can actually be detrimental to ourselves and sometimes, in this case, the people around us. So the third myth, which I have alluded to, is that exercise is great for weight loss. So I had someone message me this week. They had seen an ad on Facebook for a chair yoga program that was guaranteeing, or I don't know if the word was guaranteeing, but was saying that you could do chair yoga and lose weight. And she wanted to know if that was true. It's not true. There is so much predatory advertising at the moment with absolutely baseless bullshit claims. And the idea that a seated chair yoga workout would result in weight loss is unfounded and not fair. Not fair to put that out there on an ad to make people believe that that's possible. And in fact, I need to go a little bit further and say that in most cases, exercise isn't enough to lose weight. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is if you believe calories in versus calories out, which is kind of true and kind of not true, and it's too much to go into for this episode, if you ate like a normal amount of food, you'd have to do a lot of exercise to burn all of that off. So, you know, exercise doesn't really burn as many calories as we're led to believe unless you do really full-on stuff. So that's one thing. But there's also two other reasons why exercise isn't great for weight loss. The first one is that if you are exercising regularly and starting to build muscle, and I don't mean like Arnold Schwarzenegger muscle, I just mean, you know, you're getting a little bit more toned, a little bit firmer in your body. Muscle weighs more than fat. So if you're reducing the amount of fat in your body but increasing the amount of muscle, which is what will happen if you do regular exercise, then that means that you may end up even for a while putting on weight rather than losing weight because of that change and because muscle is heavier on the scale than fat. So if you're going to base your success at exercise on the number on the scale, you're very likely to feel disappointed. And then the other thing that's really important to know is that when we start to exercise more, we naturally need more food. We need more fuel to help us with that exercise. And especially if you're going from not much exercise at all to a lot of exercise, your body's going to be hungrier. And so you may end up eating more, which means that you're going to maybe plateau with your weight, or, you know, not much will change on the scale. And I want to warn you not to just stop eating, because your body needs that fuel. And I think that's one of the reasons why people start exercising and then stop, because they're doing a diet program at the same time as their exercise program, and they feel tired and exhausted. And it's because they're not eating enough food to fuel their exercise. So keep that in mind. So one thing I know is true about exercise. So if we've talked about three myths, but the thing that I know that's true is that exercise really is about mental health and about overall health. And so if you're planning to exercise more because it's the new year, or just because you feel like it, or because, I don't know, your friend is, or whatever reason, whenever you're listening to this podcast, it might not be the new year, please try and exercise because it makes you feel good. Please try and exercise because you notice how it improves your energy levels, improves your ability to concentrate, helps you feel more confident, helps you to feel more energized, helps you to feel calmer, helps your body to be less up and down, like with blood sugars and things like that. They're the reasons to exercise. We can't control so much how exercise will influence our body and the way our body looks, but we can notice and enjoy the benefits that we get for our mental health and the way we feel and the way we show up in the world. So I hope you found this episode interesting. You've learned a little bit about exercise, and I hope I haven't put you off exercise. I know that for most of us, we've been taught that, you know, exercise is all about getting a great body, or to get a great body, you should start exercising. And that might feel like the best motivation to do it. But I hope I've shown you that it's not the best motivation. In fact, it might end up demotivating you, and that there are plenty of reasons to exercise that are way more important than the way you look. And I think one thing that I wanted to end on is a really amazing quote that I saw on Instagram in the last week. Something like this: having good body image isn't about thinking that you're beautiful all the time, but it's understanding that your presence is much more important than your appearance. And I hope you can take that on board. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. Remember to jump over to emmapaulette.com to download your free self-compassion meditation.